the Harlem ache, and the floss of taste and smell. And they don't just avoid detection with names of the groups. They also use code words in their posts. For example, instead of got the vaccine, they say danced or drank beer. References to Pfizer generally use the term pizza, and Moderna is referred to as Moana. Dancing, beer, pizza, Moana. If you're going to describe something you think is killing everybody, maybe don't use code words that are things that everybody universally loves. You might as well just say, my sister danced with a laundry basket full of puppies, and now I'm afraid she's given me rock-hard abs. In fact, she's pressuring the whole family to drink a chocolate milkshake with Jason Sudeikis. In one post, a woman explained her husband had become sick after going on a cross-country trip where he spent two nights with dancers. In this case, dancers is code for vaccinated people. But now her husband has a perfect alibi for going to strip clubs. Honey, I spent the night with two dancers, and now I have chlamydia. Fauci! Damn you, Fauci!
...99% of the people who are dying from COVID are unvaccinated.
That's so their choice.
They don't want to die. The administration and the government is saying we need the mask mandate to protect the unvaccinated.
That's not their job. It's not their job to protect anybody.
Remember, folks, masks and vaccines are government overreach. My right to kill you if you so much as sneeze. That's government doing its job. Here comes some freedom gas.
There's a lot going on in the world right now, and it's easy to look around at the state of things and get a slightly apocalyptic vibe. COVID cases have nearly tripled in 2 weeks thanks to a highly contagious new variant. Billionaires are jetting off to space as U.S. life expectancy saw its biggest drop since World War II. And thanks to intense wildfires on the West Coast, smoke blanketed parts of the country as far east as New York. So life expectancy is plummeting, a new variant of a highly contagious respiratory disease is surging, and wildfire smoke has spread all the way around the U.S. Let's check in on Republican politicians and see what they're up to.
Senator James Lankford now calling on the state of Oklahoma to ban the sale of Ben & Jerry's ice cream. All of this came after Ben & Jerry's releasing a statement earlier this week saying that they will end the sale of their ice cream in the occupied Palestinian territory. Senator Lankford tweeting out within the hour saying Ben & Jerry's has now decided they know more about Jerusalem than the Israelis. If Ben & Jerry's wants to have a meltdown and boycott Israel, Oklahoma is ready to respond. Oklahoma has an anti-boycott of Israel law in place. We should immediately block the sale of all Ben & Jerry's in the state and any state-operated facility to align with our law.
Cool. They're fighting with ice cream now. What's next? You're going to accuse Mayor McCheese of voting twice in Arizona? You can't just ban Ben & Jerry's because you don't like their opinions. I mean, I still eat it, even though I'm annoyed they haven't given us our own flavor yet. It would be called a closer lick, and we've already mocked up what the container would look like. I sent this to them, and I've called their offices and left dozens of messages, and all that happened was one of their interns called me and said, we already have a flavor named after you. It's called vanilla. Ha, ha, ha. But I assure you, if this doesn't work, then we will continue to at least try to get our own butter flavor called Land O'Lakes. I will have a personalized dairy product. So Republicans think they should have the power to ban an ice cream company if they don't like its politics. But when President Biden announced a targeted community outreach effort to send volunteers door-to-door and raise awareness about COVID vaccines, conservatives called it tyranny.
And now they're starting to talk about going door-to-door to be able to take vaccines to the people. Think about the mechanisms they would have to build to be able to actually execute that massive of a thing. And then think about what those mechanisms could be used for. They could then go door-to-door, take your guns. They again go door-to-door, take your Bibles.
Yeah.
Marjorie Taylor Greene tweeting this, Biden pushing a vaccine that is not FDA approved shows COVID is a political tool used to control people. People have a choice. They don't need your medical brown shirts showing up at their door ordering vaccinations. You can't force people to be part of the human experiment.
Going door to door, this is creepy stuff. You know, someone comes up to your door outside wearing a mask, showing up at your house, claiming to work for the government, asking you personal medical questions.
Don't come knocking on my door with your Fauci-outie.
Maybe she thinks that's a Ben and Jerry's flavor. I wouldn't be surprised. Everyone gets one but me. Also, no one's knocking on your door with a COVID shot. Although I wish they had. I mean, sure, now certain places like New York City will bring the vaccine to your house if you sign up for it. But back when the rest of us got ours a few months ago, we had to sit on our computers all day for weeks, refreshing 8 different websites, looking for a random open slot at a pharmacy at 3 a.m. in a neighborhood we'd never heard of before. Honey, I got one. It's a pharmacy called Drugs Plus in Upper Coney Island West. I guess I have to take the George Kennedy Bridge to get there. Is this real? No polls. Shoemaker on the George Kennedy Bridge. You just have to eat 50 hard-boiled eggs in an hour.
You can do it, Shoemaker.
So according to Republicans, they should be able to ban an ice cream company they don't like, but going door-to-door to raise awareness about life-saving vaccines is tyranny. On Tuesday, Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene was asked by a reporter if she had personally been vaccinated, given that she continues to lie and spread dangerous misinformation about COVID vaccines.
What Scalise said today, he got vaccinated, citing this Delta variant that's going around, and said he's confident that it's safe and effective. Two questions. Have you yourself gotten vaccinated, and do you disagree with the Republican whip?
Well, your first question is a violation of my HIPAA rights. You see, with HIPAA rights, we don't have to reveal our medical records, and that also involves our vaccine records.
No, that's not a thing. A reporter asking you if you've been vaccinated doesn't violate your HIPAA rights any more than a neighbor needs a warrant to enter your house for a barbecue. HIPAA establishes national standards to protect your medical records. It doesn't stop journalists from asking you questions. She probably also thinks Miranda rights means she doesn't have to visit her friends in Manhattan anymore after she moves to Brooklyn with Steve. I doubt she even knows what HIPAA is or what it stands for. She probably doesn't even know it's an acronym. Asking me if I've been vaccinated violates my HIPAA rights, and asking me if I've been to the zoo violates my HIPAA rights, and asking me if any of my siblings are royalty violates my PIPAA rights. And then today, Texas Congressman Ronnie Jackson jumped in with what he apparently thought was a brilliant comeback to reporters asking Republicans if they've been vaccinated.
Yeah, I was just going to chime in and say I think that you as a press have a responsibility to ask questions of the Democrats as well. How many of the Democrats are willing to say whether or not they've been vaccinated?
Hey, remember that guy, Dr. Ronnie, the guy who said Trump had the IQ of a chess wizard and the build of a college linebacker? You know, the guy who was allegedly known as the Candyman because he dished out pills like the Phoenix Suns gorilla giving out T-shirts at a home game? I'm sure you at least remember the name Dr. Ronnie, a name that sounds less like an actual medical doctor and more like a guy who plays jazz flute in a fedora and invites you to get sky high with him in his yurt outside Reno. Anyway, what are you talking about? You don't think Democrats are willing to say if they've been vaccinated? I'm pretty sure they all walk around with their CDC cards scotch taped to their foreheads. I mean, what else are we going to do with that thing? I thought I was going to have to show it everywhere I went, like a reporter flashing a press badge at a crime scene. And now I'm thinking of taking it out of my wallet to make room for something more useful, like my Hollywood video card. There's a through line here between COVID and climate change. In both cases, the right has decided the best course of action is to just let disaster happen and scare people about any government attempt to stop it. And while some in the GOP advocate for vaccines, other loud voices, like Green, continue to spread lies about them. They've sunk so low, they're basically
25% below sea level.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
Yeah, for some reason or another, you sound a little taller on radio.
This is Wave Farm radio art fellow Karen Werner. And you're about to hear a piece called 12 Miles Out, created by the New York-based project Neurotransmitter. Neurotransmitter was a project of Angel Navadas and Valerie Tavera that was active between 2001 and 2008. Neurotransmitter created 12 Miles Out in 2005 and it exhibited it for many years as an installation rather than as a piece made solely for radio broadcast. 12 Miles Out is an example of radio art that addresses radio as content, as material, and as a space. The piece is also a kind of archive of pirate radio, an archive within an archive. Here is Neurotransmitter's description of the piece. 12 Miles Out is a visual and sound installation that merges analog radio technology and line drawing. This work continues Neurotransmitter's exploration of offshore pirate radio practice, prevalent in Europe in the 1960s and 70s, and in the U.S. a decade later. Pirate radio is a tactic that undermines corporate media domination and occupies the privatized space of radio bandwidth for non-commercial interests. 12 Miles Out specifically references Radio Caroline, one of the most infamous offshore radio ships. Installed, the drawing represents a Radio Caroline ship circa 1964, setting the scene for the radio broadcast. The audio composition mixes live and ambient sound recordings of an ocean voyage Neurotransmitter took out into international waters, archival material from Radio Caroline broadcasts, and audio that references offshore pirate radio and the shifts in territorial boundaries that govern the sea. Multiple radios within the exhibition space will be tuned to the project's transmission frequency, or viewers can bring their own radios in order to listen to the work, end quote. Here's the 5.5-minute loop that is part of Neurotransmitter's 12 Miles Out.
South Africa and Rhodesia, ministers have issued strong warnings to would-be terrorists. In New Zealand, the British rugby team has been beaten by 19-6. And in London, the General Secretary of the TUC, Mr. George Woodcock, is in hospital with a slight heart attack.
Right you are. Well, if you're having tea now, it's 5:12, or if you're going to eat at 6:00, then you've got, 48 minutes to go before tea time.
I don't know what the weather's like where you are. It's calmed down a bit from what it was last night, but we still have a bit of a swell going for us at the moment. I've just been up on deck, so it might be good policy to get us over there before I came on air. And the sea is very calm indeed, and yet the boat is rocking a bit. This is one of these peculiar things about being at sea. You get what's called a side swell. It means the waves come at the side of the boat. And the boat can be rocking like anything, but the weather be quite nice. It isn't sunny yet. There's a sea fog. The skipper is going to move our boat just a little bit, more inland, and see if we can get a better result. So if you hear the engines running during the morning, that's what it is.
Australia, Sir Francis Chichester has run into rough conditions in the Tasman Sea. Several hundred miles north of his position, there is a fierce cyclone that is causing strong winds and making the sea rough. China. Following an incident at the Chinese embassy in Belgrade in which a window was smashed, Chinese members of the staff at the Yugoslav embassy in Peking have gone on strike in protest of the incident. America, it's been announced that since the 1950s, America's arms sales to foreign countries have increased by 600%. Last year's sales had a value of over £700 billion. As a result of the American sales, Britain can't even sell enough arms to Germany to offset the cost of the Rhine Army. Russia. As a result of the present anti-Russian attitude taken by the Chinese, the Russians have complained over the recent rioting outside their embassy in Peking. They've also protested over the treatment of their embassy staff. London. Last night, a man was shot outside a public house in the St. Pancras area. The incident occurred after a political argument in the pub between communists and fascists. The man was taken to hospital where he was operated on. His condition is said to be satisfactory.
Radio Caroline North, national and international, now leaves the air to resume broadcasting at 5:45 a.m. tomorrow morning. We broadcast from studios on board the good ship MV Caroline, which is laying at anchor in international waters, 3.5 miles off the Bay of Ramsey in the wonderful Isle of Man. Radio Caroline broadcasts on a frequency of 1169 kilocycles, 259 meters in the medium wave band.
You just heard 12 Miles Out by Neurotransmitter. To learn more about Neurotransmitter and many other radio artists, please visit the Wavefarm Radio Art Archive at wavefarm.org.
The Wyndham Farmers Market is held every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. in front of Wyndham Local at 5410 Route 23 in Wyndham. You can find out all kinds of information about the Wyndham Farmers Market on the WGXC community calendar at wgxc.org, where all sorts of local events are listed. And you can even list your own if you go to wgxc.org and click on Add an Event. You'll be read on the radio, just like the Wyndham Farmers Market, which is held every Saturday through October 9th in front of Wyndham Local with meats, greens, honey, vegetables, and more. That's the Wyndham Farmers Market from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. every Saturday on Route 23 in Wyndham.
Straight out of our lids. Them, they got booed by these hard rock Brooklyn kids. Us, floor rush when they DJ booming classics. You dig the crew on the fattest hip-hop record. He tucks the kinks and sinks into the sounds. She frequents deep, fatter joints called undergrounds. Our funk zooms like you hit the Mary Jane. They flock to booms, man, Boogie had to change. Who freaks the clips with mad amount percussion? Where kinky hair goes to unthought of dimensions? Why is it so fly? Cause hip-hop kept some drama. When Butterfly rocked the light blue suede boomers. What about a cut? We push it off the corner. How was the buzz entire hip-hop era? Was fresh in fact since they started saying Audi? Cause funks made fat from right beneath my hood. The pooba of the styles like Miles and shit. Like 60s funky worms with waves and perms. Just sending junky rhythms right down your block. We beat to rap, what key beat to lock, but I'm cool like that, 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 I'm cool, I'm cool.
Queen be the chocolate tap to my raps. She innovates after sweet a cat naps. He at the funk club with the vibrate. Them they be crazy down with the 5 minute. It can kick a plan, then a crowd burst. Me, I be digging it with the bug burst. Us, we be freaking till dawn, peace and I. He gets a stranger smile, so I say hi.
What's up?
Who understood? Yeah, understood the plans. Him heard of it and put it to his hands. What I just flip, let borders get loose. How to consume all the beaches like juice. If it's the shit, we'll lift it off the plastic. The babes will go spastic. I'm fatter, ask butter how I zone.
Man, Cleopatra Jones.
And I'm chill like that. 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 I'm chill.
Your feet, cause the clips be fat boss. Them dug the jams and commenced to going off. She sweats the beats and asks me cause she puppet. Me, I got crew kids, seven and a crescent. Us cause a buzz when a nickel bets a dope. Him, that's my man with the asteroid belt. They catch a fizz from the Mr. Doodle Big. He rocks a tee from the Crooklyn Nine Pigs. The rebirth is slick like my gangster stroll. The lyrics just like Luke, coming stats and rolls. You used to find the bug in a box with Babe. Now he boogies up your stage, plaits twist the braids. And I'm peace like that. I'm peace like that, 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 I'm peace. Like
check it out, man, I groove like that, I'm smooth like that, I jive like that, I roll like that.
Yeah, I'm thick like that, I stack like that, I'm down like that, I'm black like that.
Yo, I funk like that, I'm fat like that, I'm in like that, cause I swing like that. We jazz like that, we freak like that, we zoom like that, we out, we out, we out.
That was Diggable Planets from 1993 and their song Rebirth of Slick from the Reachin' album. And Diggable Planets will perform August 12th in Greene County at the Catskill Mountain Jubilee at Blackthorn Resort.
Thank you. even together. And then I just, there's good news. Good evening.
WGXC
90.7
FM
Accra.
Yes!
Nailed it!
Woo! That was awesome!
David Scher, clarinets. Brian Dewan, electronics. Performing as the Lichtenberg figures. At Incident Report, 348 Warren Street, Hudson, New York. Friday, July 30th, and Saturday, July 31st. Brought to you by the Flowchart Foundation. Weather permitting.
Survive All, one of the nation's leading manufacturers of fallout shelters, now combines sturdy steel with durable concrete block for
a civil defense approved basement type do-it-yourself fallout shelter.
Ensure protection for your family. See a Survive All shelter today.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Heidi Nielsen of Long Island City, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Like a fire hydrant, like a public drinking fountain, like a park bench, WGXC is always there for you, at your service. 90.7 FM, community radio.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Chloe Callahan reports in the Times Union on July 26, Governor Andrew Cuomo identified two Greene County zip codes with COVID-19 vaccination rates below the statewide average and new positive cases per capita above the statewide average. The zip codes are 12058 for Earlton and 12083 for Greenville. Cuomo also mentioned 12540 for LaGrangeville in Dutchess County and three zip codes in Orange County. Callahan wrote, and I quote, "The level of transmission in Greene County over the past 7 days is now so high, 59 cases out of 100,000 as of Wednesday, the highest of any place in New York outside of the Bronx, that the county health department asked residents on its Facebook page on July 28th to begin wearing masks indoors, whether vaccinated or not," end quote. Cuomo also announced a $15 million allocated towards a targeted vaccination campaign on July 26th, but Greene County Public Administrator Sean Groden said he did not know anything about that. So Cuomo announced he is targeting certain zip codes to get more vaccinations, but local officials do not know about any specific plans to get any more vaccinations. Instead, Greene County is starting their own Why Not campaign to increase vaccinations. Groden said, and I quote, "We get vaccinated as children for the measles and more. No one complains about that. Schools have mandates for that," end quote. In Greene County right now, pharmacies are the only places to get vaccinated, as county health officials are not holding any vaccine clinics. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Aaliyah Schneider reports for Columbia Greene Media that a group of Hudson residents have formed a nonprofit organization to spruce up Hudson's public square. The city park is Hudson's centerpiece, the site of rallies, protests, and where many parades begin. Friends of the public square Hudson want to collaborate with the city and its citizens on park projects. Co-chair Catherine Kananga said, and I quote, "This group of people really is, I would say, newly formed and newly energized. We've also sought to build a board that is diverse and representative of the community. We've been reaching out to different groups like Operation Unite in addition, so we want to make sure that we reach out to all parts of the community, end quote. The group would like to get the fountain working, paint benches a more attractive color, and or replace them, prune trees in poor condition, and mulch and plant bulbs in the public square that is 7th Street and Warren Street. But the Historic Preservation Committee must sign off on any changes to the park. Superintendent of Public Works Robert Perry said, and I quote, "Four people can't just show up at the park and determine what's right for the entire city. All I told them was what the department is capable of doing. Whether or not that will happen, that remains to be seen," end quote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics. A fourth grade class at Cooperstown Elementary School near the Baseball Hall of Fame proposed making baseball New York's official sport. On July 30th, Governor Andrew Cuomo signed legislation to make their dream a reality. Cuomo said, and I quote, "Growing up a Queens boy, a love of baseball is instilled at an early age. From the 69 and the 86 amazing Mets to 27 world championships by the Yankees and even having been the home of the Dodgers with Jackie Robinson and the Giants, New York is steeped in an expansive and diverse path with our great national pastime. The fervor for the sport is as reflective of our great state as a sport can be, bringing together diverse crowds for the love of the game. New York is the birthplace of baseball, and I'm proud to finally make it our official state sport," end quote. New York has a long history with baseball and many minor league teams, Negro League clubs, and the first documented Grand Slam hit in Troy. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. And that wraps up the WGXE News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
German measles, Russian flu, Montezuma's revenge. And why do we say a foreign word whenever someone sneezes?
Tomorrow, I'll take a look at swine flu up close and personal. This is Les Nesbitt.
Bob Moses, a legendary civil rights organizer, passes the torch. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. The Ku Klux Klan hung a wanted poster in Mississippi in the early 1960s, offering a reward for Bob Moses, dead or alive. The African-American civil rights worker defied his would-be assassins and went on to transform the South and the country as a whole with his brilliant work as a grassroots organizer, registering voters while training people at the local level to lead themselves. His practical approach, coupled with a deep embrace of nonviolence, has changed the lives of millions. His passing should be mourned, but should also serve as a call to action, as the voting rights for which he and so many risked their lives and for which many died are once again under assault. Working with the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, or SNCC, Bob Moses recognized that the civil rights movement had to be centered in the Jim Crow South, but also had to be a national movement. He also saw that education was the key to liberation, and later in the 1980s launched the Algebra Project, using the teaching of math in marginalized communities as a tool for organizing.
In the civil rights movement.
That's Bob Moses on Democracy Now!
We were able to do was get Jim Crow out of three very distinct arenas in the country. First, there was public accommodations. Second, there was voting rights and access to the political structures of the country. And third, and not well known, access to the national party structure itself.
On that last point, Bob Moses was referring to the remarkable attempt in 1964 to seat the diverse Mississippi Freedom Party delegation at the Democratic National Convention in place of the all-white Democratic Party delegation. Bob Moses was born and raised in Harlem, living in public housing and attending public schools. He left his graduate studies at Harvard to return home to care for his ailing father after his mother died of cancer at the age of 43. Inspired by media reports of student sit-ins at lunch counters across the South, at 25, Moses moved to Atlanta and was soon appointed SNCC's field secretary, then director of its Mississippi operations. In 1961, 70% of black Mississippians were rural and poor, with on average only 5 years of schooling. Only 7% were registered to vote, and most who were registered didn't vote, fearing violent retaliation. Moses and others from SNCC trained local African Americans how to challenge the literacy tests, poll taxes, violence, and intimidation that confronted them when attempting to register. Bob Moses himself was badly beaten on the courthouse steps while helping people register to vote, and later, with others from SNCC, was jailed for over a month facing felony charges. A Ku Klux Klansman fired a shotgun into a car Moses was in, badly injuring the driver. In 1964, Bob Moses was a lead organizer of Freedom Summer, when hundreds of mostly white Northern college students came south to help African Americans register to vote. On June 21st, three of the activists were murdered, James Cheney, Andrew Goodman, and Michael Mickey Schwerner. They were killed by local white supremacists and buried in an earthen dam, not found until 44 days later. Bob Moses' focus shifted from civil rights to the growing anti-war movement. In 1966, to avoid the military draft, he took his family first to Canada, then later to Tanzania. There, he taught school children. Returning to the U.S. after President Jimmy Carter granted amnesty to those who refused to participate in the draft. Moses resumed his studies at Harvard, then, concerned that his children's school didn't offer algebra, became a math teacher. He founded the Algebra Project to bring quality math education to all children, receiving a MacArthur Genius Grant. The Algebra Project seeks to turn each curious math student into an organizer.
In our country, I think we run sharecropper education.
That's Bob Moses again speaking on Democracy Now!
In the Delta of Mississippi, sharecroppers were assigned to do a certain kind of work. And so the idea was you only need a certain kind of education. So if we carry that forward into the information age, then we will have serfs in our cities, just like we had serfs in the Delta of Mississippi in the industrial era. And this is the huge challenge facing our country. I think what we need is a movement for our constitutional rights. We need a constitutional amendment, something which simply says every child in the country is a child of the country and is entitled to a quality public school education.
Voter suppression laws are sweeping the country, but President Joe Biden refuses widespread calls to help end the racist filibuster, which would enable national voter rights legislation to pass through Congress. Again, Bob Moses.
What were we willing to do to force the country to live up to its ideals, right? There's this big gap. Talk about gaps. The big gap is between the ideals the country has and the practices it condones. So we had to do that in the 60s, and this generation is going to have to do the same.
Bob Moses, RIP. Rest in power. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
One speeding ticket, Columbia County.
Columbia County, everybody gets speeding tickets. How else do they pay for the roads to get plowed in the winter?
And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the weekend. Well, on Saturday, sunny with a high near 76 degrees. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low of around 55 degrees. And on Sunday, there's a chance of showers and possibly a thunderstorm after 2 p.m. Otherwise, it will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 78 degrees. And showers are likely and possibly a thunderstorm before 2 a.m. on Sunday night. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 58 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, Radio for Open Ears in Greene and Columbia Counties.
What else do DJs get? I mean, we're just voices in the air, but we're what makes radio live. And what do we get for it? Seems like every year you pack everything up, move to another town. Gets harder and harder to find a station that'll let you program music you want to play. And, well, you're 40 and there's some kid half your age who will take your job and do it for half the money. And then you find yourself making silly demands. Free coffee. But that's my little moment of honesty, so we can get back to the nonsense.
Record of the time. This is the this is the record of the time.
Le 6 janvier 2115, une météorite magique fait en chewing-gum et habitée par des robots frappe Bruxelles et transforme la ville et les humains.
Une partie de la ville se soulève de la terre et monte dans l'espace. Deux autres soleils apparaissent pendant la journée. Et pendant la nuit, les humains deviennent phosphorescents comme des lucioles.
Une partie de la population reste sur la Terre avec les robots. Une autre partie va dans le ciel. Une tour interminable et des tuyaux mettent en communication la Terre avec le ciel.
À Bruxelles, il y a des maisons vivantes avec des jambes. Une maison fait que les humains peuvent manger. Et les trottoirs sont faits en chewing-gum.
Le travail n'existe plus. Tout le monde est riche et l'argent tombe chaque nuit du ciel.
Il y a des robots balayeurs, les robots serveurs et les robots constructeurs.
Les robots constructeurs construisent des voitures volantes, tuyaux pour transporter des humains de ville en ville, de pays en pays et de la terre au ciel.
Les êtres humains volent avec leurs ailes. Dans le ciel, il y a aussi de nombreux scientifiques et d'astronautes.
Il y a aussi de nouveaux animaux, cri-cri, panda préhistorique, ewok, percuta. De nouveaux insectes, comme rapidity, macaron, sympassime, lentomanto, papillon alien. Il y a aussi plein de nouveaux fruits et légumes, de nouvelles plantes comme zingu, zouzou, limkamou, makanaï, repitou, alzou.
Les humains ne mangeraient plus de viande.
Une langue nouvelle apparaît à Bruxelles. Le dili-dili-di, qui fait commencer chaque mot par D.
Dalu.
Merci. Donsoir.
Dui.
Bruxelles. Mais chaque être humain a un type qui fait la traduction simultanée à chaque fois.
Dans 100 ans, il y a plus de magie qui peut rendre éternelle.
Qui peut faire changer la couleur de la peau.
Qui peut te faire changer en fille ou en garçon quand tu veux.
Qui rendent invisible et donnent des pouvoirs magiques.
Si vous voulez l'essayer, fermez les yeux.
Voyagez dans les temps et cherchez les ingrédients suivants.
Plume d'aile, joue des zingo, un rapidité et une feuille de dindibidibidou.
Le rapidity est un insecte dur à attraper parce qu'il est très rapide.
La feuille de zimbidoudoudou est très difficile à avoir puisque se trouve dans le sommet le plus haut dans l'espace.
Ce n'est pas facile, mais vous pouvez y arriver.
Si vous le voulez.
Bonne chance !
Penso che la mia infanzia è stata molto influenzata dalla vita familiare allargata. Vivevamo nella stessa casa con mio nonno e mia nonna. Questa casa si trovava in un piccolo paese del nord-est d'Algeria a 40 chilometri dalla frontiera tunisina. Questo villaggio si chiamava Le Tarf. Era un villaggio di coloni organizzato su stampo francese. La chiesa nel centro, due bar, la scuola, il municipio. Questo paesino si trovava in una regione agricola. C'era un fiume e non lontano c'era anche un piccolo lago. La mia infanzia è stata marcata dalla guerra che è cominciata quando avevo 7 anni. Siamo nel 1954. Rapidamente abbiamo visto arrivare tanti e tanti soldati che avevano costruito campi dappertutto. La cosa più difficile era per noi, bambini, il coprifuoco. Nonostante ciò, trovavamo il tempo per essere felici. I soldati organizzavano per noi delle attività sportive e culturali. Avevano costruito un campo sportivo. Ci davano i giornali francesi che ricevevano dai loro genitori in Francia, particolarmente i giornali sportivi, l'Équipe, France Football, Miroir du Cyclisme, eccetera. Con i miei amici eravamo al corrente sullo sport in Francia. A casa eravamo molto influenzati da mia nonna di cultura berbera. Con lei ho imparato il kabyle. In uno dei ricordi di infanzia più belli che ho, c'è lei. Mia nonna finiva un tappeto della kabilia che aveva...
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10.